I'm Dave Crooks from the DLC Media News Center. On this weekend's Focus on the Community, we talk with the new chief of police of Clay Community Schools, Josh Clark. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for having me.
Well, hey, thanks for being in the studio today. And for those who don't know, you were the ex-chief deputy in Clay County for 8 years. And as you're wrapping up that gig at the end of this year, the Clay Community Schools in their most recent meeting have decided to create a new police department, something they've been talking about for a while. And apparently they had a handful of candidates and you rose to the top and got the job. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm extremely honored to take over that opportunity.
Well, what I hope to accomplish in this interview is to kind of give the community a little insights on why and what and where. And I guess you and I talked about this before we started recording this program. First of all, this concept of having a police department in a school corporation is really not a new concept, right?
No, and actually it's getting much larger and becoming more of a thing. There's currently 42 school corporations that have police departments in our state at this time. And I think over the next several years, you're going to see that number increase significantly.
And I think Sullivan is a close one, right?
Sullivan is one, yes.
Any other departments in our immediate area?
No, I think that's the only one here locally. Vigo County obviously has SROs in every school, but they're not classified as a police department at this point.
And for those who still may not understand what an SRO is, school resource officer, right?
Yes, sir.
Typically, before you became the new chief of Clay Community Schools, how does the SRO program typically work in most corporations?
So we've been fortunate enough to have SROs in our schools for nearly 7 years. The program has been amazing, and having somebody in those schools is huge benefit for our community, our students, and our teachers. But the staff is there to essentially protect the students from any kind of threat that may present itself.
And, when I was growing up, obviously, we didn't even think about having a policeman there unless there was some kind of special day going on or honoring the police or something. That's all changed in the last 5-10 years, hasn't it?
You know, it has. And that's an unfortunate scenario and time we live in. But we live in a great community. And, you don't want to think about a tragic incident occurring here, but it's happening all over our country. And, being proactive and establishing something this important is good. We want to be ahead of the events that transpire. So having somebody in the schools will be a huge benefit, but we're not going to be there just for that threat. I mean, we're there for that, but we also want to be that role model, to interact with the kids, have fun with them, but also just teach them something about law enforcement.
Now, I know that a lot of people, when they think of a tragic situation at a school earlier this year, you had the Uvalde, Texas situation. They had their own department, and of course, police came from everywhere during that particular day, but they were very slow to move. And I think they've learned a lot from that unfortunate situation, and I'm sure it's probably been a shining spotlight that's not been a good spotlight, but yet something that we're all still learning from on the way you shouldn't do something when there's an active shooter, I guess, right?
Unfortunately, that you don't want to sit back and Monday morning quarterback that situation. I wasn't there. I don't know what transpired, but obviously what we've seen and what we've heard doesn't look good. And in today's world in law enforcement, they do teach you to sit back and wait and do tactics a little differently than we used to and when I first started my career. But when it comes to school safety, that concept isn't the same. And unfortunately, those officers there in Texas, they were probably doing things that they have been recently taught. And that's, again, to wait and so forth. But not to speculate what transpired there. Here our philosophy is, in the event of a tragic incident, we're moving as quickly as we can. And we're very lucky to have the sheriff's office, the police department, state police. There's going to be a lot of agencies and a lot of help that's going to come to our aid. But having that officer in that school will allow us for an immediate response. And that is what we need, is an immediate response.
So without giving any kind of secret details or trying to put a spotlight on any bad behaved kid, I guess, give me just an example or two what a typical day looks like, whether it's currently a school resource officer or perhaps a person of your staff once you start staffing up. Well, what kind of things do you typically see on a day to where you'd like to have that extra police presence?
There are a lot of things that happen, on a day-to-day basis at the school corporation, and it's not always bad. You're going to have your fights, you're going to have your threats. You know, you're going to have your potential drugs, so forth, and you're going to address that and deal with that as it happens and as it comes in. But our presence alone is going to be a deterrent to a lot of situations that may present themselves. But I think as we evolve this department and move forward, being there as role models is going to be something that I'm strongly in favor of. And doing preventative education, doing classes and presentations as to the dangers of drugs and some of those other types of scenarios are something I want our officers to be engaged in.
Okay. Now, let's talk about what's been currently going on and what we'll see differently over time. Right now, we've got some kind of a contract with a private vendor, I assume, that basically sets up the various school resource officers that visit various schools, and that's basically a contract basis with some employment agency, I guess, or what?
Yeah, so Lawman Securities is a company based out of Evansville who currently hires full-time police officers, deputies, town marshals, guys that currently work a full-time status here in Clay County. Those guys work on their days off. So that in itself can present a problem. One, if they're working every day, that can create a sense of tired and maybe some unsteadiness in their abilities. But again, they have a full-time job, so they may not be able to work at the schools on a daily basis. And the schools are there Monday through Friday generally, and without the summers, they're there a lot. So the officers themselves, working on a part-time status as full-time officers, it's not reliable. You know, there's not that consistency that we need in the school corporation. So by establishing our own police department, we're going to have full-time officers that are there all the time, and we're going to have the opportunity to hire part-time staffing, which will be those guys that can do that on their part-time basis. So we'll still maintain some of the same guys that have been working our schools for nearly 7 years now as resource officers as well.
So if I look at the options, I know we all look at sometimes, well, you probably don't, but like Brazil Chatter online and some of these other social outlets where people get a morsel of information and then all of a sudden they become an expert and they've got an opinion on everything. But let's use that local little social outlet that was kind of critical of this decision at first. Why don't we use the normal police? All right, help me explain that to the average person. If you're going to contract, let's say Clay County or the city of Brazil contracts these police officers to also do their full-time job plus work additional hours to go out to the schools and work, what are some of those problems that are created then?
Well, again, you stretch them thin. We're already outmanned in the sense of the number of calls that come in from the local agency perspective, but then you look at the pay. You know, if the pay is going to be paid for by the city or the county to those full-time guys, now you're exceeding the overtime expectations. So you're going to have to pay them even more money. But, you know, as I mentioned, we're outmanned and outstaffed. If having the school resource program and having our own police department puts officers in the schools, this will now alleviate some of those calls that those full-time officers while working their shift may have to respond to. So it's an added benefit to the community because those officers are not going to be tied up now to schools doing things that they may have done, but they're going to be out patrolling the community.
Okay. So in other words, having a full-time police presence in our schools, that frees up the regular police, as some label it, to do a better job, whether they're patrolling or responding to a complaint or whatever the case might be then.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense to me. We're talking with Josh Clark. He is the new chief of police of Clay Community Schools, where he recently got the position to create this new department. Tell me what you're doing, I guess, right now to get this thing started. I guess you're going to have some additional people helping you once you find them.
So it's been an exciting couple of weeks, you know, since we got started. We have to create everything from the ground up. So that's something as simple as patches, badges, uniform colors, equipment, what kind of equipment we're going to carry, whether it's firearms, tasers, so forth. I mean, there's so many different facets to creating this department, including getting our agency established through the state and through the academy. So we have done that. We've got ourselves established. We are a police department. We're creating job descriptions for the upcoming potential hires of our new police officers. We're going to present that to the school board hopefully in January, and we'll be moving along hopefully at a rapid pace.
So let's do some rapid fire question and answers. So in Clay Community, we have how many school buildings?
We have roughly 12.
Okay. So how big do you see this department becoming with how many different officers?
You know, in a nice dream of mine, it would be nice to have 15 guys. Being able to go to each school, do it throughout the day. We have a ton of after-school programs and events. So being there at all times is ultimately a goal, and being able to have a force that big that can handle that. You know, there's going to be guys that's sick and so forth. The winter months always tend to hit everybody.
Or gals, of course.
Or gals, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So
these would be full-time positions with benefits and everything.
They
right?
will be, yes.
Okay. And so it could be existing law enforcement, but it could be someone who's a good applicant that could be trained to do this then,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Per statute, per the Indiana state law, we are a Tier 1 police department. So whether they're hired as police officers originally, or if they're hired and they weren't police officers, they will be required to attend the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy to obtain their Tier 1 certification.
Okay, fair enough. One of the comments on social media that I noticed a couple of weeks ago, if you're driving, let's say, from the Northview building to Clay City and you see someone obviously speeding, do you have the authority to cite that person?
Well, we will have jurisdiction through the entire state, just like any other police officer that attends the academy. But you know, that's not going to be our main focus. Our main focus is the safety of our kids and our staffing there at the schools and anyone that visits our schools. But I will say this, you know, if something presents itself in the presence of the police officer, we have an obligation to protect someone and to protect anyone around them. So we'll use drunk driving for an example. That's something that we want to teach our youth that we don't want to do. And so if there's a drunk driver that's driving down the roadway and it's happening right in front of us, we want to take action, because what that could do is our stepping in and potentially stopping that drunk driver from traveling on the roadways could then save a student. It could then save another member of our community. So, you know, it's not something we'll be regularly doing. We're not going to be out running traffic, but we will be out and about and hopefully, again, providing a service to our community. That's what it's all about.
You know, stretch thin. I interviewed Matt Ames from the state police on a previous program, and they're trying to ramp up their recruitment statewide for state troopers. And I was shocked when he told me that they're supposed to have as many as 1,200 state policemen, but they're down to 800 currently right now. I mean, that's a third that they're down.
Yeah.
That's significant. So, yeah. So it's not just a problem at the state level. Even the counties and cities are having a tough time filling these positions, right?
Our local agencies are struggling right now. And I think that's one thing that we're blessed on right now. I've had a lot of people reach out to me, inquired about the positions that may be coming available here in the near future. And that's really encouraging that guys and gals want to protect not only our youth, our staff, but the other citizens of this community in a different manner. So that's really encouraging to know how many people want to come and work at our schools.
That's good to hear. You've got what, 20 some years of experience in law enforcement?
I do. I started in the sheriff's office in the year 2000.
Okay. So you've got a pretty good law enforcement background. You've even got a kid that goes to Northview, right?
I have two that go to Northview. I have two younger ones that one's at Jackson and one will be going through the school process here in a few years. So I've got several years that I have been invested in our community and our school corporation, and I will have several more to come that I'm excited about.
Yeah, I think you're a good fit for this job, Josh. I mean, obviously, for those that may not remember, you ran for sheriff earlier this year, lost the primary, chose to leave the sheriff department and take this new challenge once the school decided to do this. And there were other candidates, I understand, right?
To my knowledge, yes, there were several.
So they interviewed several and you rose to the top and got the position. So we wish you the best. As someone who's been in the trenches for, you know, two decades doing this, what's the biggest challenge, I guess, for someone who's fairly new to law enforcement? What are some of the things that make you come home some days and wonder, why am I doing this? But then on some days, you know you made a difference, I guess.
Every day is a new day. And throughout my entire career, I've seen it evolve. And the older guys, when I started, they would say the same thing. It's not what it used to be. And you constantly say that. But ultimately, we have to remind ourselves and ask ourselves why we got into law enforcement. And that's ultimately what I've asked myself on multiple occasions is, why am I doing this? And it's always comes back to help our community and to help our youth. And so, yes, I had a great career at the sheriff's office, but now having that opportunity to serve and help our youth, I'm extremely excited about.
A question that's come up a time or two, will there be police cars for Clay Community Schools?
You know, there's a lot of details we're still working out. I'm not sure on that answer just yet. Again, we want to be the most fiscally conservative that we can. We don't want to spend frivolous dollars that we don't have to. However, I do think that cars are a deterrent. I think if you have a car parked in front of a school, that car represents that there is law enforcement there. And hopefully that would, you know, show someone that they shouldn't come to that school because they will be stopped immediately. You know, there are other facets to the job that a car may be needed for transportation or from getting from one place to another. God forbid there is a threat. We need to get to that location to help eliminate that threat. So cars are, I think, an essential part of our duties. However, we have an obligation to the citizens of Clay County to proceed with this police department in the most economical manner possible.
You touched on this briefly, but describe a typical day, I guess, for whether it's a school resource officer now or a future member of your police force. What do you see them doing besides being seen throughout the day?
You know, being seen is the number one thing. We want to go be in the schools. We want to check in with all the teachers, the students, be visible, saying hi. We want to get on that personal level with those students as well. But, you know, while those kids are in class, we're checking doors. We're looking at other safety measures that can be applied to the school, whether it's doors, windows, you know, what other kind of additional features can be added to protect the facility or somebody gaining entry into the facility. We want to present and create programs, educational programs for the kids. So there may be times where we're doing computer work and training and so forth, but then that aspect is put to use by doing presentations to individual classes or the entire school for that matter. So
I've seen a lot of agencies over the years do the shop with a cop type program, and it does make an impact, especially at those younger ages when they see their local police officer doing something very nice for them. It's not only the right thing to do around the Christmas season, but I think it's part of what you touched on earlier. We're trying to set a good example, and you want those young people not to be fearful of a police officer, yeah. Of course.
I was blessed for several years to have a canine, and his name was Forrest. And we did a lot with the schools with Forrest. And it wasn't about, actually putting somebody in jail or the criminal facet of it. It was the educational side and the getting the bond between the kids. The kids are afraid. They're intimidated by police officers, but they weren't intimidated by the dog. And so they learned to appreciate him, and his leash was like an umbilical cord to me. So they grew that bond with the dog, which then in turn grew the bond with me. And I would be all over the state, and I'd have little kids come up behind me. They didn't remember my name at all, but they would come up and say, "You're Forrest's daddy." And so that's an amazing concept there. But what I realized over the course of several years, those young kids that we interacted with then became adults. And sometimes they would be in situations that may be good situations or bad situations. You never know. But because we developed a relationship when they were young, it was easier and they're more willing to work with us later in life. If there was, you know, a witness in a crime or if they were a victim of a crime or a suspect, you could interact with them, you could talk with them, and you could get through and come to a resolution with that person based on your relationship you had developed many years ago. So as resource officers, that's something we want to build upon and get that relationship and that mentoring cycle established with these young kids.
So if somebody wants to apply, what should be the process right now? Do they reach out to you or how do they apply?
We're going to present to the school board, hopefully in January, a job description for them to approve. During that time, we're going to hope that they'll approve that along with some new hires. If that is done, then there will be a hiring process that will ensue. And generally speaking, those applications are done on the school website. They have a program that you can apply on, just like the chief's position. It was all done online. But we'll find out more here the first Thursday, the Thursday meeting in January, if the school board presents that.
And as you implement this new department, you've had the experience of being the school resource officer at times, along with other police officers. Help us understand, I guess, what you hope to achieve over the next year or two that might be a noticeable difference from the way we've done it with SROs.
Well, we're going to establish an expectation. We're going to establish that game plan. Again, we may not make that present to the entire community because, again, safety is the key there. But seeing more, being more consistent in that. Yeah, granted, we've had him there for 7 years, but it hasn't been as consistent as what I want to see. We're going to stair step into this. Again, we want to be fiscally conservative. We want to make sure that we obtain as many grants as possible and do this with money in mind. But you're going to start seeing more presence in our schools before and after schools. And again, hopefully you'll have your children when they come home. They'll be talking about the law enforcement in a good manner.
And we mentioned Uvalde earlier, but since that event, apparently there's some federal grant money that does exist for departments like this to be created, correct?
Well, and I don't know that it was just based on Uvalde, but we've had so many tragedies that have involved our youth and involved the school settings. Unfortunately, a tragedy can happen anywhere, but where we don't want it to happen is at our schools. We don't want it to affect our youth. So because of all those tragic incidents, they have been making more money available for agencies like ours.
I won't mention their names, but they're friends of ours. And I know right after that horrible tragedy back in May, I guess it was, made the comment that they wouldn't let their kid ever go to a public school. Here, you've got kids in our public schools. What can you say to reassure the typical person in this community that their kids are safe in our school buildings?
Well, it all starts with support. And we want the community to know that we appreciate the support that they do give us. But we're going to be there for their safety. We have been there, and we're only going to build that. And again, we're there.
And even though we don't want to dive into every detail, because there's a lot of things that have happened, I've even heard some of the school board members talk about over the years the kind of things they've done to be a kind of ahead of the curve on school safety. But, you know, doors really are kept locked, right, at all these buildings. There's cameras that people don't always notice, but they're there, right?
Yes, sir.
Not just anyone can walk into a school and show up, right?
No, and you know, you talk about the doors, the locked doors. That's what I do on a regular basis. I'm checking exterior doors, interior doors, but we have a lot of practices in place, proactive approaches in place. But the camera systems, advancing those cameras, we have a lot of things in the works right now that it will, again, people may not see it, and we may not divulge what has happened or what will happen. But everything we're doing, and you have to give the school board and the superintendent a lot of credit for the proactive approach that they have taken, because God forbid a situation ever happens where there's a major threat that's been imposed on our schools, we're going to be prepared.
Yeah, and Josh, I have no doubt that with you leading the charge, if we ever have something that's a serious an event, I don't think you'd be waiting 80-some minutes outside a door to take action.
Nope.
So, you know, and I think you and many others that serve in our community would never hesitate. So thanks for what you have done in the past and what you're about to do in the future. Any last words on what you want Clay Community School taxpayers and the region to know about this new police department coming to Clay Community Schools?
Well, I want to thank you for having me, and I want to thank the community for, again, their support. We live in a great community. Be patient with us as we transition through this, and we create a safer, better educational process for your kids. We're here for your guys.
And I know a lot of us old guys like me and others think, you know, why do we need a police department at schools? Well, I mean, it's kind of obvious. We've had so many incidents across the country that, unfortunately, we don't want these to be soft targets, and we want to make sure that the kids are safe. And you mentioned like the police cars. How many times have you and I been driving on a vacation or going somewhere and there's road construction coming up and there's a squad car sitting there with lights and you get up close to it, there's nobody in the police car. But yet we think that there's a policeman sitting there, so we better do what? Slow down, change our behavior. Same thing happens outside of school, right?
Yeah, it's a nice deterrent. Again, they see that. But you know what? We're not going to park empty cars there. We're going to be there.
Good. That's a very good point. Well, Josh, thanks for being on the program, and a happy new year to you, and good luck. I will look forward to your to a status update at the upcoming school board meetings. And if people want to know more about what's going on, they can always attend the monthly school board meetings, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for your time today, Josh.
Thanks for having me, sir.
Josh Clark, the new chief of police of Clay Community Schools, on this weekend's Focus on the Community. It's produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. on 104.9 WAXI, 7 a.m. on WAMB, AM 1130, 106.9 and 99.5, Sundays at 6 on 105.5 WVIG, and Sundays Sundays at 7 on 92.7 WFNB. For a download of this show and past programs, visit any one of our radio station websites. I'm Dave Crooks. Thanks for listening.